This is Radio EcoShock with Alex Smith.
Are you worried about our complicated society, that it could break down? What can we do? And how much can we allow ourselves to feel about the terrible news that comes in every day? Carolyn Baker is a one-woman whirlwind of communication. She's up to date on the news of the world as she publishes her Daily News Digest. Carolyn is author or co-author of at least 11 books that I know about. Her motto is Speaking Truth to Power. From Boulder, Colorado, Carolyn Baker, welcome back to Radio EcoShock.
Well, thanks, Alex. It's great to be back. I really appreciate you having me.
Well, you know as well as I that a third of the Great Coral Reef in Australia has died. The Arctic continues to melt. The atmosphere is clogging up with carbon. With all that, most people are fixated with the most popular soap opera on TV, and I'm talking about the Donald Trump show. Is that what you're experiencing as you try to get other news through to people?
Yes, absolutely it is. The clown show here in the United States is pervasive, and what is not being talked about are the kinds of things that you just mentioned. I mean, who knew that the coral reef was, you know, all of that news about the barrier reef is happening. If you turn on mainstream news today on television, you certainly would not hear that. So you have to look a little bit lower in the newspaper, below the fold on the seventh page, to see that kind of news. And that's terribly distressing because, as you know, we are on a fast track toward extinction of many, many species, including our own. That's where we stand right now, and people really are wanting to, they're wanting to learn more, I'm finding out, about living resiliently in these times, and that's what my work is about.
You know, a whole lot of people around the world are anxiously awaiting Donald Trump's downfall. But looking at Mike Pence inheriting that throne in the White House, maybe we should be hoping that Donald survives.
Well, I don't know about that. It's really Tweedledee and Tweedledummer in terms of the list, going down the list of people who would be a successor. And if Pence is found out to be as dirty as he seems to be, you know, then the next person in line would be Paul Ryan. That's a fate worse than death. So I don't see this as, oh boy, if we get Pence, that'll be better, or oh boy, if we get somebody else, that'll be better. This clown show is about the collapse of industrial civilization. And Trump is just speeding that up and making it more severe and throwing us a real curveball that we were not anticipating in this whole process of collapse.
I want to stick with Pence for a minute, though, because I just read an article by Glenn Greenwald in The Intercept laying out the fundamentalist Christianity represented by Mike Pence. Pence has been funded by the mercenary Eric Prince and the DeVos family, inheritors of the Amway fortune. And these billionaire uber-Christians pay out millions for anti-gay campaigns, for anti-abortion laws and anti-climate things throughout the country. Pence America would be pretty harsh.
Yeah, it actually would be. You know, rather than the hot-blooded fascism that we see in Trump, we would get this cold theocratic fascism that is extremely anti-women, anti-LGBT, and I'm very familiar with the whole Pence vibe, having grown up in Indiana myself and seeing what he's done there. So, the fact that him becoming president is a terrifying prospect, and I just think we're in a situation right now where there's so much that we don't know. We don't know who's going to succeed Trump, and we don't know what his impeachment is going to look like. I've been saying for many, many months that by the end of this year, impeachment hearings will be well underway, and possibly next year at this time, we will have a new president. And I'm not sure what all that's going to look like, because Pence is very much implicated in this corruption as well. So we're at a place that I continue to talk about, and I think is one of the most important points that we can understand right now, a place of uncertainty, a place of I don't know. And I'm really looking through the lens of I don't know on just about every issue. In terms of near-term human extinction, you know, the people that say, it's going to be by this time, it's going to be by that time. Well, it's going to be, but we don't know when, because there's so much about that we don't know. Just like we don't know the outcome of the debacle right now that is called the United States of America. So we have to, and this is why the work of learning how to live resiliently is so important, because we just don't know so many things that we have to become very used to now, living day by day, moment to moment, not knowing.
Well, I've had some experience in my family with a couple of extreme Christians, and I found that even though they were gentle people and actually loving people, they could accept almost any horror as part of the end times and the hope for return for Jesus. I mean, you know, global warming will wipe out the species, no problem. It seems so heartless and irresponsible coming from some good people. I don't understand it.
Well, you understand it by understanding the shadow. I wrote a book a couple of years ago called Dark Gold, The Human Shadow in the Global Crisis, in which I talk about the personal shadow that we all have and the collective shadow that every country and community has. And so these people walking around who are nice folks are carrying an enormous black bag behind them in which they have stuffed everything that they say is not me. I'm not a dishonest person. I'm not an unkind person. I'm not this, I'm not that. Because that, whatever that is, doesn't comport with my ego image of myself. So I say it's not me, I send it away. But in fact, when we deny it and then we project it out on other people, that shadow comes back to bite us. And that's really kind of what we're looking at right now. I think with the whole election of the Trump crowd, it is a reflection of our collective American shadow. It is no surprise to me whatsoever. And so it's very scary to think about these nice Christian people being in power. I grew up with all of that, so I know a little bit about it.
I want to talk to you a lot more about the shadow, because I think it's a key thing to what's going on right now. But, you know, my own program is based mainly on science, and it's possible some of my listeners feel uncomfortable talking about spirituality, but you talk about spirituality. How is that different? How do these things, science and spirituality, relate?
Well, I think science and spirituality are natural partners. It's only from the Enlightenment perspective that they are different. And, you know, that's the old news of 300-400 years ago, and Rene Descartes, and humans don't have souls and animals don't feel anything and all of that. And so quantum physics has really, in the last 100 years, brought mystery and science together. And, of course, Einstein was really the driver of that. I think that there's a great deal of compatibility between science and spirituality, not science and religion, but science and spirituality, science and mystery. They're really kind of twin sisters.
Is the shadow, Carolyn, always a collection of negative things? I mean, if we're already acting out some of our worst as a society, maybe there's an inversion where our undiscovered cells might contain the brighter things, some of our lost good.
I think that's a possibility, because the shadow can be bright, as Carl Jung called it, or it can be very dark. For example, on a personal level, we all know many, many males who were raised in a macho context where don't cry, you know, man up, keep a stiff upper lip, don't show your emotions and so on. Well, you can show anger, but don't show that you're ever fearful or that you're ever feeling any sadness or grief. And that becomes part of their shadow, the sadness, the grief, that's sent away. But there are times when that might come to the surface. And a man might show his grief, or he might show his fear. And, you know, that's the bright shadow. That's the part of him that he had to send away in order to survive, but could be a wonderful ally if he can do some shadow healing and allow that part to become part of his psyche and his expression in the world.
Well, we have some college stations that broadcast Radio EcoShock, and I'm concerned that some of our younger listeners may not have heard of Carl Jung, because he's a figure from a previous century. Who was Carl Jung?
Carl Jung was a brilliant Swiss psychiatrist living in, well, I think he passed in the 1960s. He was a student of Freud, and very much Jung was a scientist. But they parted company, and back to the question of science and spirituality, they kind of parted company over that issue, because Freud was all about science, and all about reason. And he could not in any way open up to the possibility of the spiritual aspect of the psyche, the soul, as Jung talked about. And soul just means psyche. It's not a religious term. And so they parted company, which was very, very difficult for Jung. And he almost had an emotional breakdown over that split. But Jung went off and began to integrate spirituality with psychology and gave us a phenomenal body of work, Jungian psychology, which isn't so much about becoming functional people in the world as it is about becoming whole people, connected with ourselves, connected with each other, connected with Earth.
Carolyn Baker, what is your own background in psychology and psychotherapy?
Well, it's very much a Jungian background. I was a psychotherapist in private practice for 17 years. I'm no longer a psychotherapist. Then I went into the classroom to teach psychology and history. But I had to do my own deep inner work, which certainly prepared me for the times that we're in now. And I continue to do deep inner work in other ways besides sitting in a therapist's office. And I'm very, very grateful for the background that I had that has really prepared me for the work that I'm doing today.
You're tuned to Radio EcoShock. I'm Alex Smith. My guest is author, life coach, and publisher of the Daily News Digest, Carolyn Baker. Carolyn, part of the story of the past generation was the determination shown by Britain during World War II. It looked hopeless. It looked like the Nazis might win, but they survived. From that comes the assumption that great challenges will bring out the best in humans, but perhaps climate change and our attempt to dominate the planet have done the opposite. They brought out the worst. Maybe this is not a fairy tale with a Disney ending. What if we steer right into a disaster beyond our imaginations?
Well, I think that's exactly where we're headed. And I'm not going to put a date on extinction, but I really believe that we are headed in that direction. You know, it is impossible these days to have a scientific conversation about climate change without the E word coming up. And so I am not optimistic about what we're doing to the planet. And what we were doing to the planet was already horrifying. And then you add to it this massive campaign of denial that we now see with the Trump clown show and the hostility towards science. And I think that might have exponentially set us on that trajectory even more than we already were. This is a time when we have to really understand where we are likely headed and learn what resilience is. The way I define resilience is the life-giving ability to shift from a reaction of denial or despair to learning, growing, and thriving in the midst of challenge. And so that's not about a happy ending, or that's not about, you know, well, I just think these nice positive thoughts and I'm going to feel better. This is about doing some deep inner work alongside trusted allies and people in community and connection. As we all walk in these two worlds, every person I talk with in coaching is telling me, I feel crazy. I feel like I'm in two worlds. I'm living with what I know to be true, and there's nowhere I can really talk about it. And when I go out into that other world where I can't talk about it, I feel crazy. And so that's part of what my work is about, and a new pilot course that I'm launching with my colleague Dean Walker this fall, one pilot course in Ashland, Oregon in September, another here in Boulder, Colorado in October, and it's called Resilience Bridge, Real Tools for Real Times. And we're going to be talking about things like how do we live resiliently in this time of incredible uncertainty. You know, the work that we're doing right now and that I'm continuing to focus on is providing a safe container for people in which they can explore these topics, a clear understanding of how we arrived at this predicament, and a deeper understanding of our individual and cultural shadow, but most of all, providing people with tools and practices to help them on a daily basis to cope with the uncertainty and the semi-certainty that we're headed in the direction of extinction.
Now, I hadn't heard of Dean Walker. Who is he?
Dean Walker lives in Ashland, Oregon, and he is the author of a forthcoming book called The Impossible Conversation, choosing reconnection in the face of business as usual, at the end of business as usual. That's the title of his book. But The Impossible Conversation is the title that you want to remember. And you can look that up very soon. I think you'll see it on Amazon. And he talks, among other things, about why we cannot talk about climate change, why we just can't go there. And his emphasis, and my emphasis as well, is on we got here because we disconnected from our deep inner wisdom, which you might say is the sacred self. We disconnected from each other with this delusion of separation from everyone and everything, and we disconnected from Earth. And our work right now and how we build resilience is reconnecting in those three ways. I don't see anything else out there that is like the work that we're doing, so I really encourage people to check out this work. And go to my website, carolynbaker.net, and right there on the homepage, you're going to see our workshop, Resilience Bridge, and check it out and read through it and see if that grabs you.
Well, I looked at your website, and I found a video that interested me. It was called Life Coach and Author Carolyn Baker Tosses a Lifeline to Depressed Collapsitarians, published March 11th, 2017. Are some people getting depressed because the economy and social system have not collapsed as fast as they thought it would?
Absolutely, people are getting depressed over that. I mean, I've known people who have been suicidal over that. And not just collapsitarians, but of course, the society at large, we're seeing a huge spike in the United States in, I don't know about Canada, but certainly here in the U.S., huge spike in suicides. And then we have this massive opioid epidemic among basically Trump's base and people who've been disenfranchised, dispossessed. You know, they might be 50 years old and they've lost a job and there's no sign of employment for them in sight. And all of these dreams and hopes, you know, have been dashed. There's tremendous despair right now, whether you're a collapsitarian or whether you don't know anything about that word collapse. You know, one of the things that we're teaching people in our work is how to embrace these feelings of fear, anger, grief, and despair, and become really a different person as a result of embracing them, becoming more resilient and being able to live in your heart and come from your heart and befriend what we call the dark emotions.
I remember in the hippie days, there was kind of an expression, life is what happens to you while you're expecting something else. And along those lines, for years, you and Michael Rupert reported on the big changes coming due to peak oil. Is the peak oil movement dead?
I don't think it's dead, and I'm not exactly sure where it is right now. Here's what I'm looking at more recently these days in terms of that. You know, there's this saying that you sometimes see on Facebook, and I think it came from George Carlin, America is an oil company with an army. And I think that we are seeing this in high definition with this current administration. I do believe that there is a there in terms of their relationship with Russia. It's way bigger than some 2016 election. And I think it boils down to oil, oil, oil. Rexon Tillerson, who is now the Secretary of State, can't imagine you would have Rexon in there unless your whole reason for having a government is to make oil deals. And so I think we're going to get with these investigations ultimately to the bottom of that rabbit hole. I certainly hope so. There's this frantic desire to make oil deals, which tells me that the peak oil movement isn't dead and that something more subtle than we mostly know about in the news is going on. Ugo Bardi, who writes for resilience.org, I think has one of the best perceptions of the oil predicament. And I encourage people to check out Ugo, U-G-O, Bardi, B-A-R-D-I, and his work.
I don't want to let us get away with it, though. I mean, I'm still driving around. I don't have an electric car. There's no place to plug in electric car here. And so I know that oils like heroin and people like Rex Tillerson and the Koch brothers, there are dealers. Would you agree? I mean, we're all part of this.
Oh, absolutely. We're all complicit. There's absolutely no question. And that's part of the grief that I think we all have to come to terms with is our part in this. The fossil fuel industry, you know, reigns supreme, and we're all addicted to it in many different ways. I don't want them to get away with anything either. And anything that we feel we can do to simplify, to downsize, to live more in harmony with Earth, I certainly support that. It's not going to change where we're headed, but it can certainly make a difference in our own little world.
Carolyn Baker, you've been active in localization and resilience in Colorado. What's going on there these days?
Well, I'm very happy to say that my dear friend Michael Brownlee has created a free online webinar, which is going to start in mid-June. And I would like everyone to go to his website, localfoodshift.org, and read about this webinar and jump on with us in the month of June. I'm one of the presenters. There are going to be some amazing presenters, Richard Heinberg and some rock stars from the permaculture movement. I mean, it's free. You know, what more can you want? localfoodshift.org, Michael Brownlee.
Sounds great. I will check it out. Do you think the legalization of marijuana in Colorado has helped stimulate the counterculture there?
We have a pretty good employment scene here, much less unemployment than people are experiencing in other states. But I wouldn't say that there is a huge countercultural movement in this state. What there is, of course, is a huge fracking movement. And just as the fracksters in Oklahoma have created, you know, a plethora of earthquakes, we're starting to see now lots of leaks and lethal explosions here in Colorado as a result of fracking and uncapped wells that have been around for a very long time. It's not a pretty picture. This economy in the state has been very much based on extraction for decades.
Yeah, I can't believe, you know, I've seen pictures of fracking operations right beside schoolyards, right in amongst suburban houses.
Yes.
It's unbelievable.
Yes.
This toxic operation becomes part of children's lives. Now, you've had your own adventures with radio and podcasting. Tell us about the old Lifeboat Hour and the new Lifeboat Hour.
Yeah, when Mike Rupert took his life, he left a note to some of his friends, and, you know, I was one of those friends, and he asked me to take over the Lifeboat Hour, which I did in 2014, the week after his passing. And we ran that on Progressive Radio Network for a couple of years, which is the network that it was originally on. And then we just had so many technical issues, and it just was much more advantageous for me to create my own podcast. So I do have my own podcast, which you can hear every week, and it automatically comes to my website, carolynbaker.net. And I am pleased to have had a host of wonderful, wonderful guests over these last 3 years. We've gone now to every other week because it's just really hard to keep up with the once a week.
This is Radio EcoShock from Boulder, Colorado. We are talking with Carolyn Baker from the original Speaking Truth to Power site, carolynbaker.net. I want to return to this critical idea of the shadow, and there's some kind of an idea of a group shadow as well. Do you think that there is one, and has that been studied by academics or psychoanalysts?
Yes, I write about this extensively in my book, Dark Gold, The Human Shadow and the Global Crisis, and I talk about the personal shadow and the collective shadow. Jung certainly studied it, and some of his protégés studied it as well. I can't point you to any scientific studies that prove there is a collective shadow. I think by deduction, we can figure out that what infects the individual psyche or what is deeply troubling in the individual psyche is, of course, going to be mirrored in the collective and is going to be spread around in the collective. It just, you know, that just makes all kind of sense. Yeah, there are some specific shadows in our American history that we have not dealt with. and I talk about these in the book. Certainly, we have never dealt with the genocide of millions of Native peoples on this continent when we came here. We have never dealt with slavery. We have never dealt with the dropping of the atomic bomb on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Lots of American shadows that we have not dealt with, and they continue to influence us as a culture and explain to me why we are standing on a precipice right now, and it's not looking good.
Now, you collect an awesome amount of terrifying news stories, from climate change to economic collapse to terrible social developments. How do you keep hard and keep going with that kind of dark information coming at you every day?
Well, that's a really good question. This is the 10th year, by the way, that I have been producing the Daily News Digest every single day, 7 days a week, unless I'm sick or I'm traveling. This is a 2 to 3 hour project that I usually start the night before, start gathering news. And as I emphasize in my work, you cannot look at this much darkness and not have to balance it with beauty and love and all manner of things that feed your soul. I must confess, when I'm gathering the news, I'm sometimes listening to Bach or Mozart and feeling the inspiration of that music. And then, you know, at the end of my day, I just go do something that's pleasurable for me. I take a break from it. I think it's really important for us to take a break from the world situation on a daily basis. So that's what I do. So anything that we can do, not just me, any of us, to balance, you know, the darkness of what we're coping with, if we let ourselves go down these rabbit holes, we must temper that darkness with beauty and love and joy in our lives.
Okay, because despite this bad news, your latest book is Return to Joy, written with Andrew Harvey. How do we let that joy back into our lives? You've given us some hints, but is there a program or a series of tips that you offer?
Well, it comes back, in a nutshell, it comes back to what I've been saying and I continue to say, is we have to do the deep inner work. You know, in the book we talk about happiness. You know, this is a happiness-addicted culture, and happiness is very circumstantial. I'm happy if I get a promotion. I'm happy if I get a new boyfriend. I'm happy if I take a trip, you know, and on and on and on. We're a very happiness-addicted culture, and happiness doesn't last very long, so we have to keep trying to make ourselves happy. Joy is a different thing. Joy lives at our core. And we argue in the book that it's the ultimate nature of our existence. But in order to get that joy that is in our core, we have to do some work. We have to do some shadow work. We have to embrace our feelings, especially those dark emotions that we don't want to deal with, like fear, anger, grief, and despair. We have to make a commitment to this inner work in order to experience joy. And there are many people, and we talk about some in the book, who have had very difficult lives, who suffered a great deal, who faced a lot of hardship, who radiate joy, but they've been able to hold this darkness alongside the light.
What will be your next book?
Well, Andrew and I, he's going to be here this weekend. We're going to be doing some hunkering down and writing, and we're calling our next book Living Resiliently in the Dark Night of the Globe. We're going to be talking about resisting the modern face of fascism in the age of Trump, living resiliently amid global psychosis, and how do we reconnect with self, other, and earth. And the four big points of our book are the reconnection that I just mentioned, resistance against the status quo, resilience, and regeneration. And regeneration is about leaving some sort of legacy for whatever or whoever might survive us for however long or whatever time that might be after we are gone.
Is there anything that I've missed?
One thing I would like to add, for people who are looking for a regular place that is safe, where they can talk about their feelings, their thoughts, and get support and give support around collapse and abrupt climate change, we have a twice-monthly Safe Circle call online that is free. And you can become part of that mailing list and learn more about it by simply emailing me at carolyn@carolynbaker.net.
We've been talking with Carolyn Baker. She's the author and co-author of 11 books, with the 12th on the way, as you've heard. And you could look for her newest book coming out soon, Living Resiliently in the Dark Night of the Globe. You find all her podcasts and services at carolynbaker.net, and I'll put some links to what we've been talking about in my own show blog at ecoshock.org. Carolyn, thank you for talking with us, and thank you for looking for the light without shying away from the darkness as so many people do.
Absolutely. Thank you, Alex, for having me back on.
You're listening to EcoShock Radio for the world.
I'm Alex Smith. Get it all at our website, ecoshock.org.